Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebad in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebad, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Kof Chaf. Today's daf has been dedicated by Dr. Isaac Meddeb and his wife Lily in memory of Moshe Ben Rachel Mann. Ruach Hashem Tanihana Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'adu Nishmat Chem Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihana Begin Eden. Amen. Today we begin on Kuf Yudet Amud Bet, and we will start 6 lines from the bottom. Amar Yehuda Amar Shemuel. Just to review a halakha that we said on yesterday's daf, and just to give it a little more clarity. We learned in our Mishnah, one of the more famous Mishnayot, En Maftirin Achar HaPesach Afikoman, that after one eats the Korban Pesach, he's not allowed to finish the Seuda with what the Mishnah calls Afikoman. Now, what is Afikoman? So we saw yesterday a machloket. Rav said that you're not allowed to go and continue eating after you finish the Korban Pesach to another habura, to another group. What was his concern? His concern was that if you go and eat anything in another group, you might bring Korban Pesach with you to another group, and that's asur. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in two different haburot. So therefore they forbade any eating in another group. But according to Rav, if one wanted to continue eating after the Korban Pesach in his own group, it would be permissible. The Hakamim did not make such a gezira. Shmuel said, his reason was, Kegon urdila'e li v'gozlaya le'abba. He learned it more like dessert, that one is not allowed to eat kinuach seuda, we call it a dessert, after the Korban Pesach is eaten. Question is why? So I want to just go through the two major shitot here. Actually, there's three major shitot why one should not eat anything after the Korban Pesach. So the shitot as follows. You have the opinion of the Rashbam. The Rashbam brought down that the way the Korban Pesach is eaten is ala soba. It's eaten on a full stomach. What's the reason why it has to be eaten on a full stomach? So he explained, because when it comes to basar of korbanot, it says the pasuk lemoshha, that you eat it in a hashuv or an important way. It's not important to eat something when you're ravenous, when you're hungry. But when a person's satiated somewhat, and then he eats basar, so that's more of a hashuv way of eating it. Because of that, they explained the Rashbam like this. They don't want you to eat something after the Korban Pesach, because by eating something after the Korban Pesach is a sign that you're still hungry. And therefore, they don't want you to come to eat the Korban on an empty stomach. So therefore, if they allow you to eat stuff after the Korban Pesach, could be a guy who says, alright, listen, you know, I'll eat the Korban Pesach and I'll have some more food afterwards. By not allowing you to have anything after the Korban Pesach, you're forced to eat everything before the Korban. Hence, it'll allow you to eat the Korban Pesach ala soba. That's the logic of the Rashbam. Now, it should be pointed out, the Yerushalmi has a different understanding why you have to eat the Korban Pesach ala soba. They learn it not because of lemoshcha, but they learn it because you're not allowed to break a bone from the Korban Pesach. And if you're going to be ravenous or hungry at the time of eating the Korban Pesach, you might come to pull a bone off. And the pasuk says, ve'etzem lo tishberu bo. So that's another reason why you have to eat it ala soba. Now, the Tosafot gave a different interpretation. Why? En maftirim ahar ha-pesach afikoman. He explains simply, you have to have the ta'am of the Qurban Pesach in your mouth. They don't want you to eat something else that would remove the ta'am. So that's basically the Mahluk of the Rashbam and the Tosafot in Mafti Mahara Pesach Pikuman. Is it in Inyan so you don't come to eat the Qurban, not ala sova? Or is it Inyan? No. We want you to keep the taste of the Qurban Pesach in your mouth. That's Mahlokit, Tosfot, and the Rashbam. Now, today, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel gives us a different halakha. In Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikoman. Now we discuss Bizman Azeh, we don't have Qurban Pesach. But we do have Matzah. So the question is going to be over here, does the same law apply to the Matzah that we eat? Can you eat something after the matzah? Now let's read the Rashbam inside, because here again we have a interesting machloket. Em maftiri mahar matzah afikoman shesarich le'echol matzah begmar seudato. At the end of the seuda, you eat matzah. Zecher lematzah ne'echelet im ha-pesach. Now the Rashbam says a chidush here. The matzah that you eat at the end of the seder, what are you eating it for? He says, it's zecher, not for Korban Pesach. It's zecher for the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach. Of course, the Korban Pesach was eaten al matzot umrorim. So today we don't have Korban Pesach. So therefore you eat a piece of matzah at the end of the seder to commemorate the matzah that was eaten with Korban Pesach. Bechlicha. וזוהי מצה בצועה שאנו אוכלים באחרונה לשם חובה. הרשב"ם שיטה is, that is the עיקר מצה of the night. The עיקר מצה of the night is the מצה that we eat at the end of the seder. As opposed to the מצה that you eat in מוציא מצה, which we would call the first כזית. No, he holds that the last כזית is the עיקר. ועל כורחנו, אנו מברכים על אכילת מצה בראשונה. He says, don't be fooled by the fact that we're making a beracha in the first kezayit. Because really, that's not the ikar mitzvah. So why do you make a beracha then on the first kezayit? He says, afal pi she'ena l'shem choba. Even though the first kezayit is not the mandatory one, keda amar av chazda le'el, kabe maror, le'achar shemile kereso memenu, he'achozer v'varech alav, which means, you have no choice but to make the beracha first. Because we learned the sevara above, how could you fill your stomach, for example, with maror, and then make the beracha later. So the same thing over here. We're making the beracha at the beginning, at the first eating, but that beracha is really pending for the matzah that you're eating later. It wouldn't make sense to eat matzah and then make the beracha later. You stuff your stomach with matzah, then you're going to make the alachirat matzah at the end. So that's the Rashbam's derech. Now, hilkach, mevarech atarvayu beresha. You make the alachirat matzah for both eatings in the beginning. Vehadar achil matzah baharonah. And then you eat the matzah in the end. V'achar otah matzah, after that matzah, en niftarin mimena b'achilat davar acher. You don't eat anything else after. Why? Shelo l'shakeyach ta'ama. In order that you don't forget the taste. U'b'matzah b'zman hazeh mighty. And we're talking about matzah in our time. Teleka pesach b'hada. When there's no korban pesach. Ti'i b'zman di'i ka pesach. So if you tell me it's the time when we have Korban Pesach, ha'be'ed yatran, em eftirim ahara Pesach, afikoman. Ve'haynu, achat Pesach matzah ne'echelet ha'imor. Which means, obviously we're talking about a time when there's no Korban Pesach. Because the Korban Pesach we learned in the Mishnah already. Em eftirim ahara Pesach, afikoman. And let's just talk about a time when there's no Korban Pesach. All there is matzah. Now, we can analyze for a minute what exactly is the logic of the Rashbam. By Pesach, the logic was what? Because it has to be in ala soba. And since it has to be in ala soba, we want you to make sure to eat all your dessert first, so you won't come to eat after the Korban Pesach, meaning you'll still be hungry. So it was a protection to the law of Pesach Nechal ala soba. Seemingly, if this matzah, according to the Rashbam, which is not commemorative to the Korban Pesach, it's commemorative to the matzah that is eaten with it, and there's no deen on that matzah really to eat it ala soba. So then why would the halakha say that after that matzah you can't eat anything? Meaning, there are some Rishonim that learn that matzah that we eat at the end of the seder is not a chulban. That's not the main matzah. The main matzah is the first matzah. Also, what's the second matzah that we eat, which we would call the afikoman? It's zecher the korban pesach. Oh, if it's zecher the korban pesach, I understand. They want to keep the matzah in sync with the laws of the korban pesach. Just like emafti mahara pesach, so emafti mahara matzah, that's also zecher the korban pesach. But the Rashbam is clearly telling you this is not zecher the korban pesach. This is actually the chayuv matzah that you have to eat on the seder. Ba'erev tochlu matzot, this is it. And that matzah is for the matzah that's eaten with the korban pesach. So the kara, why would you have a deen of emaftirim? There's no deen ala soba by that korban pesach. So that's really the question that the mefarshim ask on this opinion. How do they explain it then? So some will say that could be Shmuel, who's the author of this halakha, also agrees in principle that there's anyan of ta'am as well. So by the matzah we'll say that the reason why you can't eat anything after the matzah is to keep the ta'am of matzah in one's mouth. That's, you have to say something along those lines.
Just like you did with the Korban Pesach, right?
You're right. Well, this is not for Korban Pesach. That's the whole point. Shmuel holds that the Rashbam holds the matzah eating at the end of the seder is not zecher Korban Pesach. It's zecher matzah ne'echelet imo. So you have to say a sevara that could be also holds that what? That it's still a deen to have the taste of the matzah in your mouth like the other opinions. Now, Gemara is going to try to bring a proof to this deen. No matter how you learn it, Shmuel is clearly saying that the matzah that you eat at the end of the seder, there's no eating afterwards. So comes the Gemara and says, Tenan. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines on the bottom. Tenan, en maftirin achara pesach afikoman. We learned in our Mishnah that you can't eat anything after the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Achara pesach hu delo, aval lehar matzah maftirin. So only after Korban Pesach you can't eat anything. But what? If after the matzah, you can. That's a question on Shmuel. Lo mebaya kamar. Brother, no. The Mishnah is in a style of lo mebaya. Not only that, meaning, lo mebaya har matzah de lo nafish tamayu. Which means, for sure it goes without saying that matzah that doesn't have such a strong taste, certainly you can't eat anything afterwards. Why? Because you're going to lose the taste. Matzah doesn't have such a strong aftertaste. And therefore, certainly we're not going to tell you that you can't eat after the matzah. Because anything that you can eat after the matzah is going to take away the ta'am. You know what the halusha of the Mishnah is? Aba lahara pesach denafish ta'ama. But korban pesach, which is meat, it has a strong flavor. Velo matze avure. It's not so easy to get rid of that taste. You might think let lamba. You might think there's no problem to eat after korban pesach. Kamash ma'alan, that even after pesach you can't eat. So when the Mishnah says em maftirim achara pesach, it means em maftirim even after pesach, meaning matzah for sure. Because matzah, like I said, it's not a strong taste. Certainly anything you're going to eat after the matzah is going to take away the taste. So therefore the Hadush of the Mishnah is even Pesach, which has a stronger taste, which is not so easy to get rid of, still it's asur to eat after the Pesach. So therefore you have no question from the Mishnah against Shmuel. Comes the Gemara and says a question. I'm sorry, a proof. Nema Mesayale. Let us bring now a proof to what Shmuel said. Hasuf Ganim. Sufganim would be like a sponge cake. That's a matzah that's made, let's say, thick. Sfog. Sfog is a sponge. So it's made thick. Ve'ad dubshanim. Dubshanim would be, let's say, it's made with honey. Okay? Has a honey taste to it. Like a cracker. Ve'ad iskiritin. That's also a type of cracker, but it has a very, very soft batter. It's not made like a dough, where it's a thick batter, so it's a soft battered,
like a pastry
or something like that, exactly. So all these items, we're talking about whether it's not chametz, eating on the leil seder. Okay, so what does it say? Hasuf ganim, those are matzot, are like a sponge. Vadufshanim, it's got honey in it. We would call it maybe today like egg matzah. Vaeskiritin. Eskiritin is also comes with a soft batter. Adam memale kereso mehem. On the lens said it, you can fill your stomach with them. Ubilvad, so long as shiyochal kezayit matzah baharona. Just make sure that after you eat all those non-matzah items, make sure the last thing you eat is what? The kezayit of matzah. Oh, baharona in. You can only eat the matzah as the last item. Barishona lo. So you see why you can't eat it in the beginning. So what do you see over here? That the last item that you got to eat, Anela said it, is matzah. Proof for Shemuel. I mean, eat all your other stuff first. Right? And eat the matzah last. So comes the Gemara and says, lo, no proof. Lo mebaya ka'amar. The Braita is using a style of lo mebaya again, meaning lo mebaya berishona dekachi leteavon. It goes without saying that if you're going to eat the matzah first before you eat all these other type of pastries and crackers, for sure it's okay because you're eating the matzah leteavon. You're eating the matzah with an appetite. That the Braita did not even have to tell you. It goes without saying that you can eat the matzah first because you're eating it. You know, with a healthy appetite. Aval b'acharona, the hadush is that to eat the matzah after you ate all these things, dilma atel mechal achila gasa. You might think that you cannot eat it at the end. Why? Because it'll be considered achila gasa. It's a forced eating. It's eating on a full stomach. You might think that's not considered eating. Didn't we learn in the first Mishnah in Pesach, in Arbe Pesachim, that said how careful the rabbis were on Erev Pesach that you don't eat so much so you don't come to eat the matzah? But Akhilat Gasa? So I would have thought that if you have these crackers and these items, that no way you can eat those first and eat the matzah after. Because you can eat the matzah now on a full stomach. Emalo Kamash Malan. Kamash Malan, you can even eat it after. What about Akhilat Gasa? How can it be good? So explanation is like this. When do we say this in Yana Bachila Gasa? That's when you eat in the afternoon, before the Seder. Because before the Seder, you don't gauge yourself. Because the Seder is far away. So if a person is going to eat and eat, he's not going to really be able to gauge, is he full, is he going to be full? Then we make all these type of gizzard. But at the Seder itself,
he's watching.
It's easy for a person to know exactly how to control himself. How much to eat will still be not achilat gasa. So the hadush, the braita over here is that you can even eat these cookies and the crackers, whatever you call them, first, even though you might think it will eat achilat gasa. Kamash well, no. But certainly, if a person wants to eat these things after the matzah, no problem. So we have no proof for Shemuel. Okay? Comes the Gemara. Okay, so that's one version of Shemuel. Now we go give a second version, which is totally the opposite. Mor Zutra Matne Hache. Mor Zutra had a text the other way. Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yudama Shemuel, Maftirin Ahara Matzah Afikoman. You can eat the dessert after the matzah. The first version clearly said, En Maftirin. This version said, no problem. Which means, En Maftirin Ahara Pesach Afikoman. Yeah, that's the Mishnah. I was talking about Pesach. But when it comes to the matzah, no problem. So the Gemara says, oh, now we're going to go bring all these proofs that we just brought for the first version. We're going to bring them the reverse way for this version. Nema Mesayale. Oh, let's bring a proof from our Mishnah. Eh, maftirim ahara pesach fikoman. Ahara pesach delo, aval ahar matzah maftirim. I can bring a proof from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said you cannot eat dessert after Gemara Pesach. Mashma only Pesach, but matzah, you can. Lo mebaya ka'amar. No, the Mishnah is using a lo mebaya style. Lo mebaya har matzah delo nafish tama. Certainly, don't have to tell you after matzah you can't eat because it doesn't have a strong flavor. So certainly you can't eat after because you're going to ruin the flavor. Aval ahar pesach emalo. I might think korban pesach, which has a strong flavor, maybe it's okay to eat after. That's why kamash from the Mishnah, even korban pesach. No, so you have no proof. Metiven, now we ask a question. Hasufganim, those are the sponge cakes. Vadufshanim, those are the honey cakes. Vaiskiritim, those are the ones with the soft batter. Adam imale kireso mehem, you can fill your stomach with them. Uvadchi yochad kezait matzah ba'achrona. So long as you eat the kezait of the matzah at the end. So the Gemara says, ba'acharona in. You have to eat the matzah at the end. Barishona lo. But not in the beginning. Ah, that's a question on this version, because this version says you can't eat after the matzah. Gemara says, lo mebaya kama. No, the Braita is using a lo mebaya style. How? Lo mebaya birishona. Certainly you can eat the matzah first. Why? Because you're eating it with an appetite. I might have thought that you cannot eat it after. You can eat the matzah after these items because you might come to eat akhila gasa, kama shma'alad, then you can even eat it after because it's not going to be considered akhila gasa. And therefore you have no question from the braita. So that's basically the two versions. Now, the halakha, obviously we hold like the first version of Shemuel, and we eat the matzah Baharona, and we do not eat anything after it. So we also follow Maftirim Achar Matzah Afikoman. Okay, so there's a whole Sheila, what about drinking? She's eating, we're saying, is a problem. But what about drinking? So the Rashbam wants to say that drinking is not a problem because drinking really doesn't take away the ta'am. And we'll see that inside the Rashbam a little later on. Now the Gemara continues. Okay, Gemara continues. Amar Rava. Rava said, Matzah bizman hazeh deoraita. Umaror derabanan. Okay, we're talking about bizman hazeh, there's no Korban Pesach. You have an obligation to eat matzah, and you have an obligation to eat maror. On what level? So Rava says, matzah, even today, is still a mitzvah in a Torah. Even though we don't have Korban Pesach. However, the maror that we eat today, that's only mitzvah derabanan. So the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference? Umayshina maror. What's the reason why maror, you dropped it down to a derabanan? Dichtiv almasot umrorim. Why? Because it says with the Korban Pesach, you eat it with matzot umrorim. So therefore, no Korban Pesach, no maror. Therefore, it drops down to a derabanan. Bisman diika Pesach yesh maror. Ubizman de leka Pesach, leka maror. Good. Means maror hinges on Pesach. Yes Pesach, Korban Pesach, yes maror. And Pesach, and maror. So give us a matzah nameh. So the matzah the same reason. Haketiv al masot umrorim. So do the same thing. Yes Pesach, yes matzah. And Pesach, and matzah. So the Gemara says, Matzah mehidar hadar bekera. Says, you're right. If that's the only pasuk we had for Matzah, of Al Matotum Norim, we would tell you it's Drabanan. But we have another pasuk. The Torah repeats the obligation to eat Matzah again. Where? Ba'erev tochelu masot. Now, from the fact that the Torah says, Ba'erev tochelu masot, what do we learn from there? That you have to eat it even bezman hazeh. That's teaching you the chayuv of Matzah even bezman she'en Pesach. Okay, that's the opinion of Rava. That matzah is the oraita. What's the source pasuk? Ba'erev tochelu masot. Good? Now, comes the Gemara and says, V'ravaha bar Yaakov amar, Echad zeh, ve'echad zeh, drabbanan. Ravaha bar Yaakov argues. Hedush. He says, even matzah, bizman hazeh, is only midrabbanan. Ela haketi ba'erev tochelu masot. Oh, Ravaha bar Yaakov. What do you do with the extra pasuk of Ba'erev Tochlu Masot? That must be coming to teach us something. So he says, yes. Ha'im mev'ele letameh v'sheaya bederech rechoka. It's coming to tell me about two people. Somebody that was tameh, that's a person that could not bring Pesach Rishon, correct? Because he was contaminated with corpse tum'ah. Or he was bederech rechoka. Or he was far away, where he could not get to, let's say, Yerushalayim, in time to bring the Korban. Both these people have what in common? They do not bring Korban Pesach. Now, you have a question. I said, they're not bringing Korban Pesach, but do they eat Matzah?
Yes.
So the Hadush is, the Salka datach amina, I would have thought, Kevan de Pesach lo achle, since they're not eating Korban Pesach, Matzah umaror nameh lo nichul, that maybe they don't eat Matzah umaror as well. Kamash ma'alan that what? No, ba'erev tochlu matzot. That these guys, the Tameh and the Baba Derek Ra'onka, they're still responsible to matzah. Now all this is told by his man, Korban Pesach. So his Rava learns the pasuk ba'erev tochlu matzot for bizman hazeh. Whereas Rav Habarikov says, no. This Ba'ayin of Tukhlu Matzot is still talking about the times of when there was Korban Pesach. But we're just talking about two people that could not bring Korban Pesach. And Dardush is what? Don't think that they're exempt from everything. Don't think, what's that I bring in Korban Pesach? They don't have to bring, eat matzah and maror. No. They still have to eat their matzah and maror. Okay? That's the deoraita. Right? That's the Dardush deoraita. But this is all talking about Bizman, that there was Korban Pesach. It's just that they're not bringing the Korban Pesach because they were tameh, but it doesn't exempt them from eating matzah. Why should it exempt them? Huh?
Doesn't say maror.
It goes together. It goes together. Right? Tochlu matzot, it goes together. Now, the Rava. Oh, so how is Rava going to know that a tameh and Babe Derech Rehoka that they have an obligation to eat matzah? So I don't need a pasuk to come and include the tameh v'shaya bederech rechoka. Why? They're not worse than two other people that don't bring Korban Pesach. The arel, that's somebody that was not circumcised. Again, he wasn't circumcised not out of peshia, but he was not circumcised because he couldn't circumcise himself. Because his brothers already died, Mahmat Mila. So therefore it was dangerous for him to circumcise himself. So even though it's not his fault that he's not circumcised himself, but the Torah says that an Arel cannot bring Korban Pesach. Or a Ben Nechar. What is a Ben Nechar? I literally mean a stranger. No, kind of stranger. Somebody that is estranged from the mitzvot of the Torah. Specifically, we learned in the Gemara above, it means somebody that accepts upon himself the whole Torah. He just doesn't accept upon himself the Isur of Avodah Zarah. That's called the Ben Nechar. So the Torah says such a guy cannot bring Korban Pesach as well. Now, what does it say regarding those two guys? Kol Arel lo yochal bo. It says, a Arel will not eat it. What does it mean? Bo eno ochel, aval ochel b'masa amaror. Which means, they do not eat Korban Pesach. Bo. Implying what? But they could eat, or they have to eat, masa. Ah. So therefore, Rava comes along and says, listen, if an Arel and a Ben Nechar, who don't bring Korban Pesach Rishon, and they're still obligated to eat matzah, so therefore, who had deen letameh v'sheba b'derech rechoka? Which means he's saying, I agree with you, Rava, that letameh v'sheba b'derech rechoka, they have to eat matzah, on Pesach Rishon, no question. You're telling me you need a special pasuk, Ba'erim Tochlu Matzot, to come and include them. No. I said, no, you don't need an extra pasuk to include them. Already, they're not any worse than an Arel and a Ben Nechar, that also can't bring Pesach Rishon, and the Torah clearly says, Lo Yochal Bo, but they would eat Matzah. So therefore, he said, and therefore the Pasuk Ba'erev is open, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot, to teach that even Bizman HaZeh, the Zayuv of, to eat Matzah. So comes the Gemara and concludes and says, Ve'idach, so what is Ravaha Bar Yaakov? Why does the Ravaha learn like Rava did? So he says, Ketiv Behai, Uchtiv Behai, Vetzericheh. It says two pesukim. It says Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot, and it tells me Kol Arel Lo Yochal Bo. I need both those pesukim, and if I didn't have both those pesukim, I would not have known Tameh and Ba'be Derech Rechoka. You know why? Because there is a major difference between an Arel and a Tameh Veba B'Derech Rechoka. What's the difference? The difference is like this. And then it would be like this. An Arel or a Ben Nechar, they don't bring on Pesach Rishon because they can't. But they don't bring as well on Pesach Sheni. There's no compensation for these people on Pesach Sheni. So by Arel and Ben Nechar, I would say they eat matzah on Pesach Rishon because there's not going to be a Pesach Sheni for them. So then, they have to eat matzah. But I would say a tameh and a babe derech nechoka, I might come along and tell me that since anyway they're bringing Pesach Sheni, so I would say maybe let them eat the matzah on Pesach Sheni. Who told you that they have to eat it on Pesach Rishon. And therefore, if I only had the pasuk of, let's say, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot, I would tell you that's only coming to include an Arel. If I only had the pasuk Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot, I tell you that's talking about an Arel, and that's talking about a Ben Nechar, because they're not bringing a Pesach. But I would have argued and said what? That somebody else, like a Tameh and a Babadir Rahman, has Pesach abilities, push them off to the next. That's why the Torah has to come and tell you the second Pasuk as well, called Arel Lo Yochav Bo. That was only Arel. Oh, so now I need another Pasuk of the Ayat Tochlu Matzot to come and include even a Tameh and a Babadir Rahman. So I need both pasuk. If it only told me Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot, my first thing to include is who? I say an Arel. I would say the simple Hiddush. The Arel, that's not bringing a Pesach Sheni, eat it on Pesach Rishon. Because what are you going to eat it? Mashiach, I would tell you, the Tamen, the Baba, the Hoka, listen, you bring the Sheni, bring it on the Sheni. Oh, so the Torah comes along and tells me, no, call Arel lo yochadbo. Which tells me, no. The Arel doesn't eat, but the Arel does eat on Pesach Rishon. So what's the pasuk of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot? It's coming to tell me even a Tameh and Baba Derech Rehoka that bring the Pesach Sheni, still they would eat on Pesach Rishon, but I don't have an open pasuk to teach me Bizman Hazeh. So therefore, Rabbi Haver Yaakov says Matzah Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanan. Now, let's read that in the Rashbam. Let's read that out, how he learns that in Rashbam. It's nice to read this Rashbam. Let's read the Ketiv behai uchtiv behai utzlicha. You see, it's 1, 2, 3.
Almost at the top.
Right, 6 lines down in Rashbam. V'tameh v'sheya b'derech rechoka. The law of tameh v'b'derech rechoka. Lo yalif me'arel u'ben nechar. I cannot learn it from arel and ben nechar. Why? Da'it le tashlumin le pesach sheni. Because they have a makeup. Right, the tameh and the derech rehoka, the makeup for Pesach Sheni, hilkach lo yochal matzah b'rishon ad shi'aseh Pesach Sheni. Right, I would say let them eat the matzah Pesach Sheni v'yikayim al matzotum lorim yokelu. They can fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach matzah maror together. Aval arel ben nechar dinu shi'ochlu matzah b'rishon. It makes sense for the arel ben nechar to eat on rishon. Why? Da lo achli b'sheni. Because they're not eating on this sheni. V'ketiv Nachmana Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot Hava Mukmi Le'Ba'arel U'Ben Nechar. If it only said Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot, I would say it's going on the Pashut one. Oh, Ta'arel and the Ben Nechar. Mishum Delet Le'Tashlumin Aval Tameh V'Derek Rehoka Deitu Tashlumin Lo Le'Haimu Ben'Rishon. V'ketiv Nachmana Tameh V'Sheya B'Derek Rehoka. Zevon HaTorah has to come and tell me that what? Again, that even the Tameh and the Ba'erev B'Derek Rehoka also have to eat matzah on Pesach Rishon. Comes the Gemara and continues. So again, that's a fantastic machlok here between Rava and Ravaha on the Hayuv of matzah bezman hazeh. Now the Gemara says, okay, comes the Gemara and says, Tanya kivated Rava. We're going to bring a braita to support Rava that says matzah bezman hazeh is the oraita. Now, we have a pasuk. Sheshet yamim tochal masot. Ubayom ha-shevi'i atzeret la-Hashem Elohecha. Torah says, 6 days eat matzot, and the 7th day it's atzeret, meaning it's Yom Tov. The 7th day of Pesach is called atzeret, which is a stoppage of work, meaning it's a Yom Tov. Ma shevi'i reshut, av sheshet yamim reshut. So the Gemara makes it the Rasha. We all agreed that on the 7th day, there is no obligation to eat matzah. So the Gemara says, just like on the 7th day of Pesach, there is no obligation to eat matzah, so too on the 6 days, that the Torah also put in that same pasuk, there's no obligation to eat matzah. My ta'ama, what's the reason? How'd you get to that? So the Gemara says, Have davar shaya bichlal. We have the 13 midot, the way to extrapolate Hiddushim from the Torah. One of them is called davar shaya bichlal, something that was in the general learning or general teaching, viyatsa min haklal, the lamid, and it came out of the klal and became a specific, lo lelamed al atzmo yatsa. It's not only coming to teach me a din on the specific, ela lelamed al klal kulo yatsa. It's coming to teach me a din on the general. Ah, now let's put that into practice. So he says, look at Rashi. No, Al Ashbam, I'm sorry. Look at Rashi Shvi'i Reshut. Okay? The seventh day is Reshut. Dichtiv, Ubayom Shvi'i Atzeret, Velo Ketiv Tuchal Matzot. And that's saying, you know, the seventh day is Reshut. Because all the Pasuk says, Bayom Shvi'i Atzeret. If there was a Hayuv to eat Matzah, the Pasuk would have said, Bayom Shvi'i Tuchal Matzot. So therefore, Shari Otsiom in a Klal. So therefore, you see, Shvi'i went out of the Klal.
Already, yeah.
It's different than the others, because we have another pasuk that's going to say Shivat Yamim Tuchal Masot. Now, what's Shivat Yamim Tuchal Masot? That's a klal. 7 days,
eat matzah.
You got to eat matzah. Then you tell me what? No. By Yom Shivat said it. So it was in the klal of Hayuv, and then you took it out. You can't longer put the seventh day
out
separate, right? So now, when you take the seventh day and put it separate, the rule is lo lelamed al atzmo yatsa. It's not only coming and telling a din in the seventh, but ela lelamed al klal kulo. It's coming to tell me a din in the whole klal, and therefore it's clearly coming to tell me all 7 days are reshut. Let's get the style of this klal again. This principle: you have a klal shavat yamim tochal matzot. Putting all the 7 days together, 7 days you got to eat matzah. Hayuv, you got to eat matzah. Then what does it tell me? No, Ubayom Hashivya Atzeret. So you took something that was in the general rule, and it left it.
Jumped it one day, like.
It left the klal, and now it's coming to tell you, Ubayom Hashivya Atzeret. No, the seventh day is no hayuv to eat matzah. Atzeret is yom tov, but no matzah. So we have a rule. Kol davar sheya bechlal, v'yatzah min haklal, lo lelamed al atzmo yatzah. It's not only coming to tell you din on the seventh day, but ela lelamed ala klal kulo yatsa. It's coming to tell me a whole understanding on the entire klal. It means what? Just like the seventh day, it's not mandatory.
So to all seven days,
it is not mandatory. So now we have one more question. So if all 7 days are not mandatory, what about the first night?
Yeah, exactly.
You tell me, even if, isn't the first night included in the 7 days? So you tell me what, there's no hayuv to eat on the first night? So look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, "My tama havi devashia bechlal v'yatza min haklal lelamed lo lelamed al atzmo yatza ela lelamed al haklal kulo yatza yachol af laila harishon reshut." You can tell me, even laila rishon? Tamud lomar al masot umrurim yochelu. Can't be. We know you have a hayuv to eat matzah on the first night. Doesn't it say al masot umrurim yochelu? That you have to eat the korban Pesach with masah and maror. Yeah, but that's only enli elav as much with
Rosh Kayam.
That only tells me that there's a hayuv to eat matzah when there's Bet HaMikdash and there's a korban Pesach. Bismanch in Bet HaMikdash Kayam minayin. How do you know that even when there's no Bet HaMikdash, there's a hayuv to eat matzah on the first night? Tamud lomar ba'erev tochlu matzot. Because you have an extra pasuk. Ba'erev tochlu hakatuf kab'o choba. The Torah establishes it as a choba. So therefore, 7 days, if a guy doesn't want to have any matzah, just wants to eat meat, let's say, like the Rashbam says, no problem. There's no hayuv to eat matzah after the first night. But I only know the first night from Amatzot Umrorim. That's in the times that there was Korban Pesach. How do I know when there's no Korban Pesach, there's still a hayuv to eat? Because there's another pasuk ba'ered, tochlu matzot. So what does this blaita prove to me? That there's a hayuv deoraita, afilu bezman hazeh, to eat matzah. Proof positive for which opinion? For Rava. So that's what Sanya Kevateh de Rava.
What's the purpose of the pasuk in the times of the
Beit HaMikdash? To tell me that you have to eat the matzah with the korban pesach. You would think that maybe you exempt the whole pesach. Couldn't we say shivat shemim is reshut? Kavashva, no. 7 days are in reshut, but the first night is a hayuv. What's the hayuv? To eat the matzah and the maror with the korban pesach together. So I have a hayuv on the first night of pesach to eat matzah and matzot umrorim yochelu.
What is the pasuk say? 6 days.
So I'm telling you, it's when it comes and tells you that for
1 day,
right, 1 day you're exempt. Now that 1 day you're exempt is leaving the other pasuk of 7 days. You hayav. So therefore, we make a derasha just like on the sixth, because it says shesh shem to kal masot. So we say just like on the sixth, just like on the seventh. I'm sorry, you're exempt, right? So too on the rest of the days as well, because it was included in the shivat shemim and it was yotze min haklal lo lelamed al atzmo ela lelamed al haklal kulo. Oh, very good. So you exempt all 7 days now. Once you exempt all 7 days. Alright, I mean, even the first night, isn't the first line included in the 7 days? You're right, it would be. But I got another pasuk. Ba'ayrev tochlu matzot. Okay, ba'ayrev tochlu matzot, eat the karma pesach, eat the matzah, eat the maror. Alright, that's bizman shekadosh kayam. How do I know even today, bizman hazeh? I got another pasuk. Ba'ayrev tochlu matzot. Which teaches me what? That even bizman hazeh, the leka karma pesach, eat the matzah on the first night. And therefore, that's a proof positive for Rava. Now the Rashbam here, very important Rashbam, summarizes all these halachot. The Rashbam says like this. Let's read the Rashbam inside. Look at the Rashbam. Shemrinan. At 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines before the Mishnah. In the Rashbam. 7 lines before the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. In the Rashbam. Shemrinan. First word on the line. De matzah bizman hazeh deoraita. First he's giving you halakha. Yeah. We posek like Rava. Matzah bizman hazeh deoraita. Umaror derabanan. Why? That Tanya kivote derava. Because we brought a braita to support Rava. Now whenever you can bring a Tanayic proof for the opinion of an Amora, obviously that fortifies and therefore we're going to take it as halakha. V'kayma lannam, and we also hold Rabbi Yohanan de Amar, de'er ochli nahar matzat chovash sheba aharona klum. We also hold, regarding the first machlok we discussed today, like the first version of Shemuel, that says what? Ein maftiri mahar matzah afikoman. And he's telling you that that matzah that we eat at the end of the seder, that's the last item that you eat. The lo liftil ta'am matzah mine. In order not to take away the ta'am of the matzah. Aval shtiyat yayin. But to drink wine, lo miftile.
Because we do drink
wine. Why? Dishtiya lo mivatla achila mine. It sounds like from the Rashbam, not only the hayuv kosot, which we stop drinking is not mevatel, the whole reason is not to mevatel ta'am, that's only by achila, but shtiya, no. So that's the way that Rashbam summarizes the halakha over here. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechet an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's review Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and then we can understand this Mishnah much clearly. Rabbi Yehuda had an opinion regarding the group of the Korban Pesach. We call that the Habura. So his shita was like this. You have a habura, let's say, of 20 people. Right? They all signed on, they all registered to bring the Korban Pesach itself. A Korban Pesach can be eaten by the group. You can split the group up. It can be eaten b'shtei haburot. Meaning, if 10 guys want to eat their Korban Pesach in one place, and the other 10 guys want to eat it in a different place, you can split up and eat it in different places. However, the individual is not allowed to eat it in two different places. So once he signs on to eat on the left side, he's got to eat on the left side. He cannot go now and eat with the guys on the right side. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The groups can split up, but the individuals in the group cannot. And actually, we proved in the earlier Gemariot that we had Stam Mishnayot like that opinion. It sounded like the shita of the Mishnah was also following that opinion as well, that you're not allowed to split up individuals to eat in two different places. Now, with that understanding, we can read our Mishnah. Yashnu miksatan yochelu. Group sat down to eat the Korban Pesach. Part of the group fell asleep. That's possible. You have to remember, it's Leh Seder. Right, already they're drinking wine. This is already, the Pesach is eaten at the end of the Seder. So people lost and they fell asleep. So yeshnu miksatan. Now they woke up. Okay? So the she'elah is, can they go back and continue eating from the Korban Pesach? That's the she'elah. Well, I get up and go back to eat. Well, the Mishnah does say, yochelu. No problem, go back to eat. But it does say, kulan lo yochelu. If the whole group fell asleep, and then they got up, you can't eat Korban Pesach anymore. Why? So, the Rashbam is going to tell us, because it looks like they're eating in two different places. Once they go to sleep, it's like a hefsek. It's an interruption. It's a say hadad. Now, granted, they're not eating in two different places. They're going back to the exact spot where they started to eat. This is merely a chumrah. It's a stringency because it's like a gezerah. It looks like you fell asleep, now you wake up. It's like each guy is now eating his Korban Pesach in two different places. And since we posek like Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds that is not legitimate, so they were strict on this as well. However, if part of the group is still up, so okay, so you're drawn after the group still. The group is still there eating, so when an individual fell asleep, it's not considered a new place, because the group is still there. But when everybody falls asleep, then already it's a problem. Now, look at the Rashbam to read this inside. Yashnu kulan lo yochil. Im itchilu le'echol pishan. And they started to eat the Korban Pesach. V'yeshnu. They all fell asleep. Or they fell asleep. Lo yochlu. Why? Did it air ke'ochil pisho bebet mekomot? It looks like he's eating his Korban Pesach in two different places. Why? The ma'achar she'yeshnu, once they fell asleep, hisihu da'atan le'echol od. Obviously their mind's off of eating. Correct? When you fall asleep, that's it. You're not eating anymore. V'hashiv le'tana ke'achilat shne mekomot. So the Tana gives it a deen of eating in two places. V'homra ba'almahu. Listen, it's not two places. It's just a stringency that they're giving it like that. Okay. Now, let's continue the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yose Omer. Rabbi Yose says, Nitnamnemu yochelu, nirdemu lo yochelu. He starts making a chiluk between mitnamnem, which would mean dozing off, which is not a deep sleep,
right,
or nirdemu, which we considered a deep sleep. Now, what is Rabbi Yose doing over here? Is Rabbi Yose coming to be stringent on the Tanakama? Is he coming to be lenient on the Tanakama? So here, we have a great machloket amongst the opinions. The Rashbam, as well as the Rosh, have one opinion in Rabbi Yose. They learn like this. The Hiddush is like this. If, when Tanakama said, Tanakama made a hiluk, nirdemu they were talking about. Tanakama was talking about deep sleep. And Tanakama's opinion was what? It depends if it was all of them or it was part of them. All of them, they cannot continue eating. Part of them, they can continue. When they wake up, they continue eating. To that, Rabbi Yose comes along and says, if nirdemu, in all cases, lo yochelu. Again, Rabbi Yose says, even if it was part of them, nirdemu, deep sleep, you never can come back. Not only when it's all of them, but even part of them. Oh, so what's the deen of the Mishnah? The deen of the Mishnah is by nitnam nemu. There you have a chiduk. Nitnam nemu miksatan yochelu. Nitnam nemu kulan lo yochelu. But by nirdemu, always asur. So comes Rabbi Yose to be mahmir. Otan, that deen of the first part of our Mishnah that said that what? That if the Miksatan, if Miksatan fell asleep, they can continue?
Mm-hmm.
That's only said by Mitnamnim. But by Nirdam, even Miksatan, Asur. So basically, if you're charting it, very easy. According to the Biyose, Nirdam always Asur. There's never a case where it's Mutah. And Mitnamnim, Hiluk. Miksatan, they can go back. Mitnamnimu, Kulan, it's going to be totally Asur. That's the way Rashbam understands. However, according to Harambam, he understands the Mishnah differently. He understands like this. Right, now we're going to go to the Rambam. He learns like this. We agree, by the case of Nirdam, where they actually fell into a deep sleep, there's going to be a hiluk between Miksatan and Kulam. Miksatan, Yochelu, like Tanakama said, and Nirdemu, Kulam, Lo Yochelu. The Hiddush is that he's coming to be more Mekel. He's coming along to say, but if they're mitnamnem, it's always mutar, even if it was kulam.
Right.
Meaning Tanakama did not make a hiluk. Tanakama said there's no difference between nirdam, there's no difference between mitnamnem. the Hiluk is in Tarakama, Kulan, Miksatan. Levels of sleep, they don't mehalik. But Harambam says, Rabbi Yosef is coming along to say what? That no. In Nirdam, I'll make this Hiluk between Miksatan and Kulan. But in Mitnamnem, always Mutar. So he's coming to be more lenient than the Tanakama. Whereas the Tanakama says, don't make a Hiluk in levels of sleep. The Hiluk with Tanakama is very simple. Kulan, Miksatan. Kulan, Asur, Miksatan, Mutar, always. Comes a B.O. Singh, comes along and says, yes, I agree, by Nirdam, we're going to make this Hiluk. By a deep sleep. But by a dosing off, always Mutar. No Hiluk between Miksatan and Kulan. That comes out of B.O. Singh would be more Mekel than the Tanakama. Good. Comes the Mishnah and continues. HaPesach Achar Chatzot Metameh Tayadayim. Okay. New law. Korban Pesach. After Chatzot, which is halachic midnight, we'll call that. If somebody touches it, his hands become tameh. Why? Because there's a law that says anything that falls into the category of notar, notar is leftovers of a korban. Once the korban becomes asur to eat, it turns into notar. Okay? So the rabbis gave me a gezerah. You touch notar, your hands become a sheni letum'ah. Not your whole body. Meaning they're going to give the notar a rabbinic din of a rishon. That's going to have an ability to mitameh the yadayim, to make it a sheni. As the Mishnah says, ha-pigul v'anotam mitameh mit ha-yadayim. What is pigul? Pigul is a korban where, let's say, one of the surfaces were done bepisul. What type of psul? Psul al-machshava. What type of psul al-machshava? The Kohen had intention to eat the Korban past its time. Mm-hmm. Can only be eaten, let's say, for 2 nights and 1 day. Or 2 days and 1 night. And he is kavanah to eat it for 3 days. That's already pigul. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the deen is pigul lo yiratzeh. But the hadush is the Korban itself has rabbinic tumah that somebody touches it, his hands become a sheni. Okay, so now the Gemara starts. Rabbi Yosef omen nitamnemu yochelu. Rabbi Yosef said, if the person is mitnamnem, he dozes off, they can still eat. Nirdemu lo yochelu. No, but if it was nirdam, they cannot eat. Hechi damen nitamnem. What's the case of dozing off? You have to give me the hiluk between a doze or a deep sleep. Amar Rav Asher, nim velo nim. He's sleeping, but he's not sleeping. Tir velo tir. He's up, but he's not up. Which means he's somewhere in the middle. Kegon dekarile ve'ane. If you call him by his name, he's awake enough to respond. However, velo yadal ahadure sevara. But he cannot answer things that require thought. For example, that Rashbam says, if you ask him, where did you place such and such an item? He can't answer. However, v'chi madkeru le madkere. But if you remind him, he can remember, which means, if you tell him, did you put the item on the table in the living room? He says, yes, yes. Which is when you remind him, he can remember, that's already considered mitnamnim. Abaye avayativ kamed rabah. Abaye was sitting on Leila Seder in front of Rabah. Hazah deka nimnim. Okay, so he saw that he was dozing off. Amar le, so he told him, Menam kana'im mor. Says, you're sleeping? They're eating the Korban Pesach, not the Korban Pesach, they're eating the matzah. Right? Amar le, minume kaminamnim. No, I'm not in a deep sleep, I'm just dozing off. Utnan, and we learned in the Mishnah, nitnamnimu yokelu. That if somebody is mitnamnem, he can continue eating. Nirdemu, lo yochelu. But what? Nirdam, lo yochelu. Now, the Rashbam learns this story as a proof, the Shita. Because again, he was sitting with Abaye and Rabah. There were two people, right? Abaye was still up. Right? Rabah fell asleep. So Rabah came along and said, no, I was only mitnamnem, so I can continue. Why can he continue? Because Abaye was still up. Implying what? That even in mitnamnem, we have a hiluk between if
group.
It's miksatan or it is kulan. Look at the Rashbam inside. The Rashbam says, the Rambam will start from Havam mitnamnem. It's the Rashbam in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. Rabal le'achar shitchid le'echol matzat choba b'acharonah. He started eating the matzah, mm-hmm. right? In the middle of his eating, he fell asleep. Netamnemu yochel utnan. He said, wait a minute, we learned in the Mishnah, netamnem according to the Biyoseh, it's okay. Aval im hu yashen. However, if he would have fallen asleep, afilu hu lebado, which means, even if he was the only one that fell asleep, which means he was nirdam, meaning even though it was miksat, he was the only one. Even if everybody else stayed up, shuv lo haya ochel. Right? Because nirdam, according to Rabbi Yosef, is always asur. Right? According to Rashbam, nirdam is always asur. The hidush is odd. The hiduk between miksat and Kulan is only by mitnamnim. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the sfira can be yoseh. Taman nirdemu afilu miksatam lo yochelu. So therefore, what happened was, Rabbah fell asleep. Now, Abaye told him, hey, is this a deep sleep? Because if it's a deep sleep,
right,
it's over. Even though Abaye was still up. Because Rabbi Yoseh understands that what? Deep sleep is always, that's when he's mahmir on Tanakama.
Right.
So Rabbah came along and said, no, I was not in a deep sleep. I was mitnamnim. And therefore, since you were up, so therefore it's mitnamnim, it's right. Miksatam, it's mitnamnim. So therefore I can continue eating. However, if, two options, if Rabbah was nirdam, he would not be allowed to go back and eat. Or if he was the only one, right? If he was nirdam, unless Abaye was also nirdam with him, certainly would be asur. Or even if Abaye was mitnamnim with Abaye, with Rabbah, both of them mitnamnim would be asur. According to Rashbam, understanding of Rabbi Yosef. Again, Rabbi Yosef learns that the whole Hiluk is in what? Is mitnamnim. And therefore, miksatan mutar, kulan asur. Nirdam, always asur.
No matter what.
So therefore, that's what Rabbah was saying. I wasn't nirdam, because if I was nirdam, I'll be asur. Even though you're still up, because nirdam's always asur. However, it's always mitnamnim, and you're up.
It's fine.
It's fine. I can go back and eat. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen.